Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Over the course of these inquiries and oversight hearings, I'm going to reserve judgment until I find out the full facts.
President Bush at a news conference yesterday reserving judgment on the destruction of CIA interrogation tapes. A court will pass judgment soon, as that controversy has made it to an early court date this morning. We'll talk about that in a minute. But here's the question, really. Should the CIA not have destroyed these hundreds of hours of tapes of interrogations of al-Qaeda suspects? This is, of course, the latest revelation surrounding the issue of torture and where the line should be for the United States on interrogating suspected terrorists. And now that this information has been surfacing for days, we want to know what you think. Call us 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. On the one side, of course, people say it's destruction of evidence. That's one thing the court is hearing. It's a cover-up of possible torture by the United States. On the other side, defenders say this is the last thing the U.S. would have wanted out in the world. Tapes showing tough interrogation techniques that are bad for America's image, tapes that reveal specific interrogation techniques that would allow future suspects to prepare to withstand them and not reveal information, and also to protect the safety of the interrogators themselves, who would be at risk of personal retaliation for serving their country, presumably under orders. So, what do you think? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And joining us with the latest and some perspective is Newsweek investigative correspondent Michael Isikoff. Hi, Mike. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Good to be with you.
First, what is this court hearing this morning?
Well, this is a hearing on whether or not the CIA should have retained the tapes because of a court ruling that it should preserve all evidence related to Guantanamo detainees. And the CIA, the judge has already indicated that he wants to know why the CIA doesn't feel that it was covered by these previous court.
Were these interrogations of Guantanamo detainees?
These were interrogations of al-Qaeda suspects who were who have since been transferred to Guantanamo, and their evidence, what they said in these interrogations, are relevant to the upcoming hearings, tribunals, court. Prosecutions uh-huh. of Guantanamo detainees. In other words, it's relevant evidence to military tribunals' proceedings for prisoners at Guantanamo.
But technically, the court hearing, the ongoing case, is about the treatment of prisoners and alleged torture at Guantanamo, but none of these interrogations took place at Guantanamo, correct?
No, right.
So that would be the government's argument.
Yeah.
Pardon? That would be the government's argument anyway, right?
Correct.
Okay. Just before we go to the phones, one other thing by way of background, why were these tapes made in the first place?
Very good question, and it is one of many unanswered questions about these tapes. I mean, you know, one explanation is simply that the CIA knew that once it got into waterboarding and some of the other harsh interrogation techniques that had been approved under this program, it was dealing in legally problematic areas. I mean, you know, the White House lawyers and Justice Department lawyers had already discussed, and CIA lawyers had already gone back and forth and discussed whether or not these sorts of techniques would be in violation of not just Geneva Conventions and international law, but U.S. federal statutes barring torture. And that's what the famous August 1, 2002 so-called torture memo by Jay Bybee and John Yoo was all about. It was the Justice Department proclaiming that the bar was such that that these techniques could go ahead. But everybody knew that this was in a problematic area. And so one certain explanation for why the tapes was made was, and this is one offered by the CIA, mm-hmm. is that they wanted to preserve the evidence that they were doing it according to the prescriptions put down by the Justice Department. In other words, that they were, in fact, conforming to the law. Whether or not the tapes show that, and how legally embarrassing they might be, and whether others might conclude that, in fact, this entire program was in violation of federal law and Geneva Conventions is another question. And it is very possible that the CIA interrogators thought they were following the law and careful guidelines here, but others may look at it and say, if that's not, and reach a very different conclusion.
Larry, it's Nick in Seacliff. You're on WNYC. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. Love your show.
Thank you.
Brian, I'm a retired police sergeant, and I was not in the military, but I will say this about the issue of torture. Number one, in terms of preserving evidence, they should not have destroyed those tapes. Those tapes should be preserved because they're part of our history and they're part of the fabric of our country. The second point is the bad guys, when you compare waterboarding to what the bad guys are doing, cutting off people's heads, shooting people, torturing people, hog-tying them, etc., these methods are inhumane at best.
But that doesn't excuse waterboarding if either the international consensus or American values say that that's over the line, right?
From what I understand, waterboarding is considered not to be over the line.
Right.
Well, I have never, from what I've read, unless I'm wrong, I have never heard that waterboarding is considered to be, above.
A lot of people, Senator John McCain and, you know, many, many, many other people say they find it personally abhorrent, even if they're not willing to disclose that it took place. But
yes.
Tell me what you meant by these tapes are part of our history and reflect the fabric of our culture. Is that what you said?
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of like a criminal case, you wouldn't want to destroy evidence. And the same thing goes for something. Once you generate a tape, once you initiate that process, then it's meant not to be destroyed. It's meant to be preserved.
Would you, as a former police officer,
yeah.
would you be concerned for the safety of the officer doing an interrogation if a record like that was kept and somehow got out into the wrong hands? Let's say they were interrogating, you know, a member of the mafia.
If it was done correctly and it was something that the person didn't go above the boundaries, which is allowed, then the person has nothing to worry about.
Really? Even
absolutely. If it's in a criminal case and that police officer is doing something that's completely out
yeah.
of line, then that police officer should be held accountable.
That's assuming that the mafia or al-Qaeda mm-hmm. would not retaliate against the individual just for knowing who he is, but would actually make judgments about, you know, the quality of the interrogation.
Absolutely. And in the case of the mafia, I can tell you right now, they one of the golden rules was they never mess with cops.
Yeah. All right. Nick, thank you very much. And from Nick and C. Cliff, we go to Nick in Cliffside Park. Hi, Nick.
This is some kind of synchronistic opposition here. Number one, nobody uses analog tape anymore. These things were taped with digital tape. That means that somebody had to put it onto a computer. That means that this stuff is on hard drives. Once something is on a hard drive, people save it. All of this material could be saved on little keychain USB memory things. So that's number one. Number two is that the Congress and the people investigating this have to get down to the nitty-gritty perpetrators, the individual cameramen, the individual people who did the torture. They have to be maybe not testify in public, but we need their testimony under oath. We need to know who has this stuff, what they did with it, who ordered them to do what with it. Number three, the fact that this torture has been done in our name with our tax money by our people scares the heck out of me as a citizen, because you got cops like this kook Nick in Seacliff who actually thinks this is legitimate, and I could see a year or two or three from now, if there's a terrorist incident in this country, these people would justify doing that to Americans. They would justify doing that to anybody that disagrees with the policy. People like me who are angry and disgusted and oppose it would then become the victims of it, because they would justify it by saying, are you a terrorist sympathizer?
And Nick, I get all your points, and I'm going to leave it there so we can get some other voices on. But Mike Isikoff from Newsweek, what about the point of information that he raised there? Is he right to say that in the digital era, this is not a tape in the old sense that you can just destroy the tape? It's something digital. It's probably on people's flash memory drives and, you know, hard drives, things like that.
That's a reasonable assumption, but we don't know. I mean, the limited information we know is what the CIA has said, and they haven't clarified, you know, what sort of tape it is. It is. I think that's an interesting point that the caller is making, that there could well be hard drive copies of these things. Although, given the CIA's determination to destroy the tapes, I would think that the people who did the destroying probably thought of those hard drives and may well have destroyed those too. The agency is certainly capable.
Right, he's saying in the digital age, it's so easy to make a copy that we don't know what other copies are sitting out there, even if they think they destroyed everything that they knew about. And what about his point regarding all the individuals involved? We know the name of the CIA official. Is it Rodriguez?
Jose Rodriguez, who was the chief of the clandestine service, who is supposed to have given the order to destroy the tapes.
But we don't know everybody who did. We
right.
don't know the identities of the people on the tape who were conducting the interrogations.
I mean,
and he said it shows torture. I mean, we don't really know if it shows torture, but given the concern, it may well show torture.
Right. Look, I mean, much is going to depend on just how aggressive the House Intelligence Committee is going to be in investigating this, and how aggressive the courts are going to be. And we don't know whether the courts even have jurisdiction at this point. There's a Justice Department preliminary investigation. There's the House Intelligence Committee, which has subpoenaed Rodriguez and demanded testimony for a hearing January 16th from top CIA officials. But this does – it's certainly true that this does – have the possibility of becoming very messy for a lot of people, because we know not just down the line that there presumably were a lot of people involved in the destruction itself, but we know that there were a lot of people up the line at the White House, at the Justice Department, who were at least consulted on the disposition of these tapes, and that there seems to have been a number of communications. And we know that John Necroponte, when he was the Director of National Intelligence, apparently had advised the CIA not to destroy the tapes, and that there was a written record of that. So, I mean, this was not done casually as an afterthought. When the decision was made to destroy these tapes, there seems to have been quite a bit of extensive discussion about it. It was conscious, it was deliberate, and it looks like there are going to be a lot of fact witnesses to getting to the bottom of it.
Kay in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Kay.
Hello. I'd just like to say, who cares? Who cares what happens to these people? Nick is worried about these people coming over here and torturing him.
No, he's worried about the government torturing him if things continue to go in this direction in this country, if people who are dissidents in America are started to be perceived as terrorist sympathizers, then maybe they're going to be the next ones.
That is completely absurd. These were people who would cut your children's throat in a minute. And the idea that we are putting all of this out into the public, I mean, this is people are disgusted by this.
Okay, what about the American values involved? Accountability, non-destruction of evidence that may be related to an ongoing court case, and accountability for humane treatment, even of suspected terrorists.
Well, I think it's rather hypocritical when you will not discuss what's going on with the governor of our state. You pick and choose what you decide is unjust.
What?
You pick and choose.
We just did a law.
If it's something to do with our president, then you want to look into every aspect of it.
Okay, I asked you, first of all, it's not true. We did a long segment about Spitzer, and we're going to be talking about him again in the next segment. But on the content of the question that I asked you about American values, does it not bother you if these tapes reveal something that you would consider un-American?
I don't consider it un-American to use methods of interrogation when we have terrorists in custody. And if that were the fact, you and I would be speaking German or Japanese right now.
Okay.
You. We are not Boy Scouts. We are dealing with terrorists.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll get one more in here before we run out of time. Peter in Rockville Center. Hi, Peter.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. Real quick.
Real quick. George Bush will be gone in 11 months. And don't you feel that at this point in time that even if we were found guilty of terrorism, it wouldn't matter? Because the problem is the next president, that's more dirty wash he's going to have to launder. The reality of it is we have other issues to consider. Habeas corpus, the ability to have people confined for years without an attorney being represented.
And, Peter, I'm going to leave it there because we really are out of time. But, Michael Isikoff, what about Peter's political analysis, really, which is that this president's going to be gone in a year anyway. So what does it matter whether this gets thoroughly investigated or not?
Well, it matters on a whole range of fronts, including the consequences of this. If you follow it through, are going to be quite long lasting, not just for America's image in the world, and if a full accounting ever gets done, but even basic questions like what becomes of all these high value Al Qaeda detainees if it is determined that harsh interrogation techniques that would shock the conscience of the court that might have violated U.S. law. Took place, it is going to be extremely problematic to try the people who were involved in 9/11. Remember, we have in custody the mastermind of 9/11, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, one of the key plotters, Ramzi bin al-Shib, and a whole range of other people who I think ultimately a lot of people want to see justice for. What is to become of them? Can we put them on trial in a military tribunal and hold them accountable for what they did? If it turns out that they were tortured or they were treated in ways that that would make it impossible to bring them to trial, then that raises some serious questions, I think, for people who want to see justice for the perpetrators of 9/11. It also, as well as everybody else at Guantanamo, for whom their testimony might be relevant.
Mike Isikoff, investigative correspondent for Newsweek. Thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And earlier this week, we did talk about Governor Spitzer's role in Troopergate this year and in the new gridlock in Albany. We will discuss Joe Bruno's role and what New Yorkers expect of him next year in just a minute.